The theme, it's bringing in the sheaves. We're going to be a little bit busy. There was some architectural work done in this place, soundproofing. Is it easier to listen to now without the echo? Yeah. By the time we fix this church up, the rapture would have already happened. Okay. You know, it's amazing what can happen in our midst. So, I was in contemplation in these couple of weeks of the preparedness with which the believers need to live their lives, because everything that a believer needs is made possible by God. In Romans chapter 3, in the 23rd chapter, there is a universal declaration that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In the book of Galatians, in the 3rd chapter, in the book of Romans, in the 11th chapter, we have a specific verse which says that Scripture has concluded that all men are in unbelief, so that mercy would be showed to all men. The word to fall short is a very important word in the Scriptures. It means to be inferior, it means to be deficient, it means to come behind, it means to be left behind in the race, so as to fail to reach the goal, to be inferior in power, in rank, and influence, to be found wanting, to fail, to be destitute. You can find these words up in a concordance. When we as individuals came into this world, to the physical birth, we did not have anything in ourselves that merited the love of God. And therefore God, in His mercy and grace, and He was the causative influence in initiating, and it is according to His abundant mercy that He caused us to be born again. In Titus 1 verse 2. Therefore every person in this world that is born physically, by virtue of his birth, which is rooted in the first Adam of Romans 5:12, has by virtue of his association with him automatically come short of God's perfection. We must realize this, because this is not something that is our lot in life as a result of not being able to match up to a perfect standard, but this is a lot that is a result of God constituting us as such. Are you awake? Even if God had made possible all the provisions, we would still not match up to that standard, because we are fallen by nature. Therefore, God in His wonderful plan of salvation decided that He is going to impute us with sin. This is not something that I came into a knowledge of progressively. I did not become sinful as a person progressively, even though I may enter into degrees of it. I recognize I am a sinner because God constituted me as such. Therefore, the word in Romans 5, 12 to 21, if you read, by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. Adam sinned. We were in the loins of Adam. And therefore, God constituted the fact that because Adam sinned, the whole human race sinned. I like that word. By one man's disobedience, many became sinners. There is a difference between the word genomai and means to become. The word became flesh. It entered into a new condition, that is by the birth, the virgin birth of Christ. John 1:14. This is not the word genomai. This is the word katisthamai, and it means God constituted it. It was his declaration. Now, religion says that man is inherently good, or if he is not totally inherently good, there is some measure of goodness in him. I say there may be a lot of goodness in man, but that goodness in man can in no way cause him to be acceptable before a holy God in heaven. He can build the Eiffel Tower, he can build the Taj Mahal, he can do all these things. He can invent things through science because God has put in him a brilliant mind, even though he's a fallen creature, but he can in no way merit salvation by his inventions or by his pursuits or by his works unless he comes to the place where atonement was made. Therefore, the Bible declares all have sinned and come short of God's ultimate perfection. The religious belief systems of our day only prove one thing, that man is conscious of God because he was created with that consciousness. He was created with that consciousness, so he is conscious of God. And if he would honor God consciousness in the true realm of his own depravity, as it becomes revealed to him, he would be in a place where he would possibly have within himself an opportunity to receive the gift of life, eternal life through Christ. I want to say something that is absolutely crucial today. Falling short is all inclusive, meaning there is not a single person in this world that has not fallen short. But God did not leave us there. Through Christ, he found a way. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, he found a way to atone for our sins, to pay the penalty that righteousness demanded. A just penalty, not just a penalty, a just penalty. And therefore, it was only possible for God himself to step outside of eternity into time, become a man, so that he would be the perfect, sinless, vicarious substitute that would die in our place on a cross, according to prophecy in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, so that the perfect, the absolute, perfect, undiminished righteousness of God would be available to us on the basis of the fact that God, who is inflexible in his holiness and undiminished in his righteousness, would have a way by which he would therefore now constitute the person that he had formerly declared to be a sinner, falling short of God's glory. Now he would constitute himself as righteous as a result of receiving the gift of grace through Jesus Christ. All questions, all forms of denial, all expressions of self-justification, whatever I may have in my life, all excuses, all false coverings, the spirit of being religious, is all dealt with in one sentence, that God has constituted me righteous, as righteous as his son, who was formerly constituted as being guilty before him. That is a declaration of a fact because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us on our behalf. And you and I do not have to wrestle with any form of reasoning apart from receiving this declaration as a fact from God, who is eternal and immutable in his nature. Pentecostal preacher would say, "Do I hear an hallelujah?" And the congregation would be guilty enough to say hallelujah. See, the message is to deliver them from guilt, but they participate in it. The believer is in a very unique place in his relationship with God, because even though he may have fallen short as a result of God constituting him to be such, he is never in a place of stopping short anymore. Two words: falling short as a result of who I am in Adam, of who I am in the old creation, completely dealt with by God through the cross. Now I am bought in the new creation of 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man in Christ, he is a new. These in the English you have, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In the original language of the Greek, there is no verb in these sentences. Now can you have a sentence without a verb? No. The verb to be is from where psychology has found its origin. I am. And that has taken man 6,000 years to figure out who he is. So God says, I'll take out the verb to be so you would just discover you. So I say to, say Manoj, you. Manoj says to me, you what? I have to fill in. You are. God doesn't want that are to be in. There are places in Matthew chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, and John 15, where the word are is predicated of the subject, which means it's assumed to be true. That means that's a declaration of a fact. The Bible says, if any man in Christ, new creation. What is it? If any man, not are. The moment you and I were placed in Christ, it was said you are a new creation. The construction of the sentences bring that out. Many of our erroneous false belief systems that are rooted in the emotions as a result of our feelings should be corrected by the way in which the word of God has been constructed and written, because it has been inspired by God. People say, what do you mean I got to go to Bible college, study the Greek? Or if you can read prescription in fine print and buy a pair of specs to do it, you can basically study a few words here, right? God is the word. I stand before him and I begin to think, God is a feeling. Huh? Hollywood, Bollywood, Tollywood, Sandalwood, all kinds of wood. God is the word. I derive my identity from what God says about himself in the word. Not by what I think he is, but what he has written about himself in the word. So it's about what I think, what I feel, against what is written in the word of God. If God says, I constitute you and I declare you on the basis of the right finished work of my son, if I declare you to be righteous as a result of you placing your faith in him, then you are constituted to be righteous. But look at what he did. Okay, look at what he did. Let's look at what he did in the light of what my son did. So we have a clear understanding of what it means to fall short. But we must have a clear understanding of what it means not to stop short of. This is where God, in his plan of progressive sanctification means God sets me apart to himself, and God sets me apart from everything other than himself, and God sets me apart not only to himself but to the purpose that he has planned for me. That is between you and God, and he will reveal it through the Spirit. In this life of progressive sanctification, he makes it possible for the believer to receive every provision that he has foreordained in his plan in relationship to the individual believer's calling in his relationship to God. It is in relationship to this progressive sanctification that the enemies of God are allowed to step in to reveal the glory of God that is now available to the believer in progressive sanctification, which the believer actually fell short of as a result of his relationship in Adam. Hello, good morning. Say good morning in all languages. Perfect. Listen to what I'm saying. I have fallen short of that ultimate perfection of God as a result of my birth in this life, being born. Now through regeneration, God is putting me in a plan wherein which he has foreordained certain things for me. Through he has foreordained it. His foreordination in 1 Peter 1:2, 1:20 is there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's all there. Ephesians 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5, Galatians 1:15-16, when these men of God came to know of the foreordination of plan of God, they were not looking to themselves of having fallen short of, and they were not looking to themselves as to what they will encounter, but they were looking to God, who is going to make available to them every provision that is necessary, as he has called them to this life, having foreordained these things, so that they will be in a position of receiving everything that is necessary to walk this life of faith, so that the glory that was once that we had fallen short of is the glory now that can be reflected as the result of us being in Christ. So we have in the book of Ephesians the riches of his grace, and we have in the book of Ephesians the glory of his grace. The grace that was given to us in relationship to our salvation is now the grace that is revealed through us that glorifies God. The believer need not put himself in a place where he qualifies. The believer has already been qualified in Colossians 1:13. Would you understand? This is not a time where you and I have to qualify. This is a time where you and I have to reflect. People think they need to merit becoming a child of God, so they don't need their Baskin Robbins rum and raisin. That's one of my favorites. It's unfermented rum though. You know how when we do things, a little bit of stuff is inside there that is not supposed to be, that we justify it by, it was in the ice cream. That is exactly where the enemy wants to catch us. He wants to catch us in the place where we seemingly qualify. Therefore, and this is very true of us, because we are fallen by nature, we get hurt, we get wounded, we are disappointed. And it is in the realm of these things that are very natural to the fallen psyche that we begin to justify ourselves instead of forgetting these are the things that God has actually delivered me from a positional viewpoint. Now I don't even have to go there to find out what my great, 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 great grandmother had in her closet. I find out that she must have had a wig. I don't need to go there. I don't need to even think about entering there. Some people want to see just because of curiosity. I don't want to go there. I don't want to know that. Why? I want to reflect on what I could never have had if Christ would never have come. I want to reflect on that. I'm not saying that we don't listen to people. I'm just saying that we don't listen to things that are not a part of the old creation. I'm saying that we do not take too much of time meditating on those things that God has kathistomai, declared it to be redundant. Now, I'm not saying for the purpose of identification, you might have to listen, but please make sure that when you are listening, you are not violating kathistomai. What is that? It's a part of the intestine. Forget it. Forget about it. That is why we can go forward in our life of faith. That is why we can climb the highest mountain. We can go through the deepest valley. We pass through the valley of Baca, making it a spring. I want to say some important things here, and then we will look into it, which is important. So, there are illustrations in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, And I love the Old Testament from the viewpoint of the finished work, because I asked God a long time ago, give me a glimpse of the Old Testament from a finished work perspective, because the cross is a reality in the Old Testament. The Son of God was a reality in the Old Testament. He came as an angel of Yahweh. He was a Christophany, Old Testament appearing of Christ, or a Theophany, an Old Testament appearing of God. I love it everywhere it is mentioned, because it cannot, because the incarnation, it gives the incarnation more depth when you begin to understand. So in the Old Testament, there are a lot of types and shadows. Like this is a shadow. What you see here is a shadow. This is the substance. If you have the substance, then you can say, yeah, that is the, but you can't see the shadow and say it's me. But if you look at this, you can say it's the shadow. In the New Testament, when you look at Christ, you go back in the Old Testament and you find out all the shadows in the Old Testament, all of them in Hebrews 10, 1 and 4, they fit in Christ. It's amazing. Everything. It's fascinating. All the types in the Old Testament, they all fit in. If you have 50 installments, EMIs, in your 50th installment, all the 49 fit in. But the 50th won't fit in the 20th. You won't get your title deed after the 20th. You'll get it after the 50th. And when you have the title deed, you'll see all these things fit in the 50th. When you come and you pay your 50th installment, you are no longer coming to the person as a debtor. You are coming as a malik, owner. The devil wants to project that you are somewhere in between 1 and 50. God wants us to know we are not even in the 50th. We are in the eternal. Somehow we are trapped into finding where we figure out in the plan of installments. I told you last week, you must not say this. You did well for one more week. Now after 1 week you started doing the same thing. I am in the installment plan of the devil. How can you expect, and I expect, perfection out of a fallen creature unless I constituted that person to be as righteous as God declared him to be righteous? Now, when I come to that declaration, as a believer, my job as a believer is to open up the door by which that person can progressively enter into sanctification. So what has been foreordained for that person through an eternal plan might be available to that person in the area of lack, not as it results, not as it relates to his position, but a lack where it relates to his experiential sanctification, where he can reflect the glory of God's grace. So it's not about that person meeting my need and therefore I have to sublimate in areas of my life. It is now that person not being able to meet my need, but I have been filled with God, and as a result of being filled with God, I can progressively manifest to that person in that area of need, so that person will not lack God's supply in that area of need, and they don't have to go and sublimate out there to figure out who they are in that area of need. They can receive it as a portion in the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1:7. There is a diversity that God endows the body with through spiritual gifts, where that person in the body receives a portion. You are not lacking. That's the same word. Come short. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift, but these people did not understand that portion, so they allowed the sensuality of Corinth to take them over. They allowed their predisposition of having a fallen nature take them over. So they had all schisms, divisions, etc. They didn't understand that the body of Christ was a perfect place of being made full. That's why Lone Ranger trips of Tonto only cause a person to shoot his own toe. The devil does not want the missionary's brain. He wants the missionary's heart. He knows that the mission, the person who's sent out and is a disciple, is pretty intelligent up here when it comes to discernment. So he knows doctrine is not going to take the guy out. If doctrine is not going to take him out, let me address his affection. If the devil doesn't get our intention, he will get our affection. God provides for our intention. God always provides for our affection. And God sends you out on a beautiful vacation. It's called rest. So we have these principles, and then I'll close. Point number one. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 4:1? there are those people that come short, right? Because a promise, huh? A promise remaineth. That means God has made the promise to them, but they abandoned it. They what? Abandon it to the point where God is basically actually waiting from his part to fulfill it in relationship to the people, to the ones he made it to. The promiser is waiting to fulfill his role in what he has revealed, but the people decided that they are not going to have to do anything with it. Therefore, they have set it aside. As a result of it, they were not in a place of eis erkomai, entering into the rest of God. Which means, instead of freely being in a position of receiving those things that God was willing to add to their lives, they decided that they were going to be on an installment plan. You understand that? What is it? Instead of receiving the things that were freely given to them by God, they decided they were going to live on an installment plan. Manna came from heaven every day freely. They decided, we don't want it freely, we want it in an installment plan. So they said, God, 3 days manna, 2 days quail, 3 days manna, 2 days quail. Installment, we want this to be changed a little bit. They don't understand how it is to be freely given. The reason why they were on that kind of diet is because of the nature of the terrain that they were walking in. They were not used to it. So God had specific diet given to them for a specific purpose. When he knew that that purpose was over, he would give them something else. There are different seasons in our lives as believers where God wants us to partake of specific things. In Ecclesiastes 3, there is a season for everything. There is a time for everything in our lives. But we don't understand it because of being fallen as creatures and because of not having wisdom. We don't understand it. So we basically start deciding what is it that we actually need instead of what is it that God wants us to have. Now, the more wise I am in my own estimation, the more stupid I am in my relationship to God. So there is a rest where a person is not able to what? Enter. So here is a Jew. Are you awake? There's a second service after this service, huh? It's upstairs. Because the rapture is upward, not downward. So here is a Jew. He keeps the 613 commandments. He's every day on his calendar. You know how you have his calendars and every day there's a promise, and then when you don't read one day, after 1 week you come and you have to read seven, otherwise you'll be guilty. So you go the previous week and you say, okay, Isaiah. Now when I go out, the cat won't run in front of me. You know, so a person becomes superstitious because he starts thinking, he's connected with his fallen nature. The fallen nature is connected to the devil, and the devil is connected to the world system, and the world system is connected to the fallen nature. It's a perfect triangle. Now I want to bring other people into the place of my rest, called the triangle. It's called the triangular rest. And no one's able to enjoy life. Each one goes there, they sit down at the table in the triangle, and each one is saying how much they have accomplished. You go there, you sit down, for a few minutes you start feeling heavy because you're not used to carrying weight, you're used to transferring it. No, Jesus, the sins were transferred to Christ. So here we have a group of people that are carrying the imputation. They have broad shoulders and big phylacteries. They're called the Pharisees. In the phylactery, they have everything that is posted in. The memory center of the computer is the phylactery. They have it there. They know everything. They have a filing system. They know everything. They have these weights they're carrying. They know. If you want to know everybody's sin, go to them. They have the file. Transference, weight, heaviness. No movement, no freedom. Restricts relationships, purity, communion, faith, all these things, all because of these things. And Jesus said, you don't need that stuff. I dealt with it at Calvary. I don't need you to pay me in the installment plan. You need to receive from me unlimited and of an unlimited measure, because that is what I had foreordained for you. So here I am, because of guilt, I know I fall short. Because of guilt, I know I fall short. But now I know that I am made meet. I've qualified because I have God's righteousness. Even though I know this, I still may come to the place where I may stop short. And this is what I want to close with. God, there are words in the Bible which are important, and bear with me for a few more minutes. The word teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, means that you come to your matured or predicted end or purposed end. God has started a work in each one of our lives. I don't care what I care, but it's not, I'm not so preoccupied right now where I put my left foot or right foot, or you know, or how many marks are there behind, or who's following after me. When he saved me, he began a good work in me, in Philippians 1:6, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Psalm 138, verse 8. He began this work in me, and he said, if he began this work in me, he will perfect it. He will bring me to a teleos. He will bring me to a desired end. He will bring me to an end that has his purpose results. But how is that going to happen? Well, he's telling me, do not get preoccupied with falling short. I have taken care of that through the cross of my son, Jesus Christ. Be discerning not to stop short. The person that doesn't understand the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he is eternally secure, that he is unconditionally loved by God, that there's a throne of grace in heaven waiting for him, that there is an eternal priesthood, that Jesus Christ is officiating on his behalf, mediating his case, that he has been given the Holy Spirit to permanently indwell him, that he has given a place where he can come in, through a provision to have himself washed in 1 John 1:7 and 1 John 1:9, that he, even though he may, fellowship may be broken for a season, he does not have to live in the extension of that fellowship being broken, but he can live in the short circuit of that fellowship being broken, so that he can be reunited in his communion with Jesus Christ. He does not know these things. He will not step out in faith because of what confronts him. Satan, let me say this again. I don't want to use his name. Satan. A guilty conscience is no match for the devil, because if he doesn't put on the breast of righteousness, Satan will deal with his heart. 1 John 3, 20-21. If your heart condemns you, and it does many times, God is greater than your heart. Why? You have been given a breastplate of righteousness, and he knows all things. So, are you still awake? Lights have gone off. I have a few more minutes. They're making their signal there. Okay, number one. I have three illustrations, and I have to give it. In Numbers 3, we said it before in small Bible study and services, 39 and 43 of Numbers chapter 3, here and there some verses may differ, because every year I grow old, I lose like 0.01% of my memory. So if I said to you, you're awesome, this year I will say you're terrible, because 0.1% of my memory is lost, yeah? Numbers 3, God said, I have set apart the firstborn for myself. Now I want to set apart the tribe of Levi instead of the firstborn. So the tribe of Levi was taken instead of the firstborn of every family, male. Now, The number of firstborns were 22,000. How many? The number of Levites were 22,273. So 273 are standing there, not selected. It's called Ghar Vapsi. If you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, forget about it. Ask someone else. 273. So imagine, these 273 guys could have told, please go, there's no place for you. How embarrassing that would be. These are Levites, priestly tribe. You know what God did? He said, take 5 shekels, which is the, half a shekel is the money of the sanctuary that you have to give in Exodus 30. Take from them 5 shekels so that they can be redeemed. 273, 5 symbol of grace. That was called ransomed money. What is it called? Are you awake? When I speak this, all of you want to buy me a meal. I'm telling you, guarantee. Ransomed money. Now these 273 were not people that were disqualified because they were excessive in number. And therefore they were set aside because they fell short. These people were taken aside and through the 5 shekels of ransom money brought into a place where they would qualify. Which means what? They would, I wrote something, usually I don't write it, I memorize it, but I told you, you know what's happening to me. Our Lord was the firstborn and so was a priest according to the original divine intent arrangement and not according to the Levitical order. All those who are redeemed by him exercise a priesthood which results from the birthright in him. So we have no need for any order of men to represent him. There is no need for any order of men to represent him in his in his priestly work. In this way, the priesthood of all other priesthood was done aside. Christ is the firstborn of God. He didn't come into being like the Jehovah's Witness said. His humanity was created. His divinity was not. He is the firstborn of God. Hebrews chapter 1, to which of the firstborn did he say? He is the firstborn of all creation. Preeminence, Colossians 1, 15, 16. He is also the firstborn from out of the dead in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So he is a unique person. He is also a priest according to a different order. Which order is that? Levit? Melchizedek in order. 110 verse 1 of Psalm, verse 4. Therefore, being in the Melchizedek in order and having fulfilled that order in relationship to the work of Christ, work on the cross, the Levitical order has been set apart. You and I are a part of the 273 people that are unemployed. We are on the Sea of Galilee, putting a fishing line in. The fish that are biting our bait are going and getting caught on someone else's hook. And Jesus said, I'm going to take you guys, your 273 nut cases of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 24, and I'm going to take you out of the Levitical order that disqualified you from officiating, and I'm going to put you in my son, in the Melchizedek in order, so you would have no need of anyone representing you anymore because I am going to represent you. So what happens? Here I am, I don't know this fact, it's never been taught to me. So I step outside of my order in Christ and I go to the Adamic order to receive something from a system that has been considered to be katistamai. Do you understand? That is declared to be redundant. It was effective for some point of time, but not effective anymore in relationship to what Christ has done. I wish this happened with all our debt in the natural. But that's okay. When the rapture happens, they will be kind of figuring out the interest you have to pay, and you're never going to be on the earth again. Two 73 guys recognize something. The 5 shekels of the sanctuary that they paid, which was ransom money, was nothing, none other than the person of Christ that caused them to be constituted in a priesthood, even though they were in excess of 22,000. They could have been sent home, but they were brought in. They never stopped short of God's plan for their lives. Hello? You can be resurrected this morning. I don't have to put oil on you. You can be resurrected through what I'm saying. Second point, I have to close. It's 11:30, 11:27. That big watch was only brought for me. Don't look back. All the way from America, Pastor Benny carried it very carefully. The second one is in Leviticus 21, and one of the things mentioned in there is testicles. You know what testicles are? It's a human first private organ. And Pastor Shallow was reading, he said that word, and everyone was like in the church, and he said, yes, testicles. He said it to the congregation, yes, purity, to the pure, all things are pure. If you had any defect physically, outwardly, you can never be a priest. Leviticus 21. It's mentioned there, 19 to 23. Any defect of any form outwardly, you can never officiate at the altar. You can never offer up the bread of God. But guess what? What does it reveal? It reveals the absolute perfections of God. No access unless absolutely perfect. It's a type. None of Aaron's sons and any one of the priesthood could approach it. But one thing they could do, you know what? They may not be able to offer the bread of God, but they would be able to eat the bread of God. Think about it. Leviticus 1:3, no defect in any animal. Leviticus 21:19 to 22, no defect in any man. No defect in any man. Burnt, all the offerings they would bring with defect in Malachi. Look at what you're bringing to me on the sacrifice. Tithing, not one tenth, more than one tenth, because one tenth is before the law. God says, I don't want you putting money in the basket, you sit in the basket. Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you sit in the basket, your wallet is in you and you are in the basket and the wallet is in the basket. A is equal to B, B is equal to C, A equal to? Calculations are over. Think about it, 273 guys qualify instead of being sent home. The person who is there cannot approach because of some defect. God said it's not your fault that you have a defect. Physically speaking, you are brought into this world to the physical birth. You have been disqualified for no fault of your own. Now I'll do something for you. Even though you cannot approach the place and offer, I will give you the bread that is there. So the just demands of God have been perfectly met and the needs of man also supplied. Therefore, God is the just and the justifier of them that believe, in Romans 3:23. The last point. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, 19 and 20. What happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 to 30. 2 Chronicles 30. And you can note it down. Verse 3, verse 17 and verse 24. But this is very important here in 2 Chronicles 29, 34. 2 Chronicles 29, 34. 30 verse 3, 30 verse 14. 30 verse 3, 30 verse 17 and 30 verse 24. You read those three words. This is it. What happened? They could not keep the Passover because they were defiled. A large number of people, but in Numbers 9, God made a provision that if you cannot keep the Passover on the 14th of April in the first month, Abib, Nisan and Abib, you can keep it in the second month, the 14th of the second month. But the process of consecration and cleansing must not be neglected. So they kept it on the second month, Numbers chapter 9, that was the premise. When Hezekiah wanted to celebrate the Passover, he couldn't do it in the first month because a number of priests did not consecrate themselves. Without the priest, there can be no identification. This is what the word says. But the Levites in 2 Chronicles 20:34 were more conscientious. What is that word, conscientious? I looked it up. It means they had equity. 1:4 of the book of Proverbs, equity, Psalm 59, Isaiah 59, equity couldn't enter. What is equity? Equity means all the provisions that were necessary on the basis of the finished work of Christ through his mercy and grace that was established at Calvary is now available to the believer, provided he understands he is not in the old katistamai, he is in the new. He's not functioning under the Levitical order anymore. He's functioning under the Melchizedek in order, which is a part of royalty. He's a king and he's a priest. The Levites were more conscientious. They understood sanctification from the viewpoint of bringing other people into their destiny.
The body of Christ, we are more conscientious because we are recognizing that the world that is lost out there think they have found themselves, and the church that have found themselves think they have they are lost. They don't understand that. Therefore, you and I have to be more conscientious so that we can bring them in the second month of the Passover, and we can bring them into the place of a blessing.
God did not allow them to fall, to stop short, even though they had fallen short. You and I cannot afford to allow ourselves to fall, what? Short. Hebrews 12:15. No root of bitterness can come up. Don't allow that root of bitterness to come up, spring up, defiling many. Don't cause it, it says in 12:15. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Let me close with this. In Luke 8:6, there was a kind of seed that fell on a rock, and it sprang up for lack of moisture. For lack of? In the soil. What is it? When Satan wants to plant in us a root of bitterness, that root, that seed that he plants in us must lack moisture in the soil. When it comes to Satan planting a seed, but when God plants a seed in Luke 8:6, the constitution and nature of our soil is different. You understand that? Luke 8:6, Luke 8:8, Hebrews 12:15. It is not possible, when a person has received God's provisions of grace in his life, to have that root of bitterness spring up, because that root of bitterness does not find something there by which it can express itself. Therefore, it is good that your heart be established in grace. When the believer's heart is established in grace, then that root cannot find, that seed cannot find itself in a place where it germinates, because it does not find in itself the moisture that it needs in relationship to its growth, because grace has basically done the job. Therefore, when a person is living in that principle, even though he may have failed many times and he may recognize that he has fallen short, he does not stay there. He gets up and he goes, because he believes God has made every provision necessary in his life for him not to fall short, even though he has, not to stop short, even though he has fallen short. That is why we can go after people and not give up. We don't say, damn them, to hell with them. You know, they get what they deserve. Maybe sometimes you may not have the grace to go after them, and that's perfectly understandable. Remember that we have something to give people, so they would not what? Huh? Stop short. Philemon. I'm 5 minutes beyond time. Philemon, when you receive Onesimus, no? I want you to receive him more than a brother. Philemon is saying, did he rob money from you? In his mind, he's thinking, Paul, did he rob money? He robbed money from me. I'll decide how to restore him. You know what Paul is saying? When you receive him as you receive me. My goodness. Philemon went out and had a couple of appams and came back. Receive him as you receive me. Why? Try taking someone out to coffee that you don't like. One of the things growing into the ministry as a person, I was thinking, oh my God. I feel like putting their head in a bucket and keeping them for a few minutes. Now, that's the natural tendency. You know what it is, but when you have this, I'm not saying you have to agree with everything and agree with them, but when you have this principle, you are not allowing that root to spring up. And guess what happens when that person has that root? Their environment is contaminated. That's what it means, contaminated. See, we don't have that environment of contamination. We have an environment of communion. We're at God's table. There are some things that God says that is stable that are hard. He might say, one of you is the devil, and I have to accept it. Not like in that possessed, but like, you know, I have the influence of it. And then I have to get right with God. Why? Because at that table, what he says is so that I will not come short. Isn't that amazing? That you can have a different mindset, you can have a different vocabulary, you can have a different memory that another person has in this world, because God has planted something in that garden that you have inside your soul, and you are different from everybody else because God has planted something in that garden. That we are not people that have to qualify. We have qualified in a progressive sanctification. We are those people that God wants to bring unto a teleos, unto a perfected end that he has ordained for our lives. Everyone sitting here will experience their perfect end that God will bring us to experientially. And then when we die, he will take us to a place and he will perfect us eternally so that we will be in his presence. He will fit us for glory eternally when we enter into his presence. Father, we ask you to bless this morning each one in this place today. We pray for the message, pray that we will contemplate it because there was a lot that was said. We pray for all those visiting pastors that will come from all the places of Andhra and our own missionaries, we pray. And we ask you will supply our needs, Lord. There is a huge need that we have to make this conference happen, we pray. More than anything else, we just thank you for what you have put in our hearts by faith. You have stored in us something of eternal value, your incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And cause us as a body to understand. We don't need many telephone calls to come to church. We don't need to go through big reconciliation ceremonies and counseling sessions in order to know that we are not rightly related to you. We can just come to the Word. Your Word tells us. We get convicted by the Holy Spirit. We receive grace. We confess it. We repent. We rebound. And we are back in business with you. Help us to realize what this equity is all about. What it means for these men to be more conscientious. That they had prepared themselves with equity. Kept themselves pure. So they would be able to be instrumental in offering the sacrifice on behalf of the others that had defiled themselves. May we be like them today, Father, we pray. Prepare the body of Christ. Prepare us. Pour forth your Spirit upon our lives. Open up the doors that no man can close. 2 Chronicles 28. The doors of the Ahaz closed the doors of the sanctuary. And in 2 Chronicles 29, 3 and 4, Hezekiah opened the doors. And maybe there are many doors that have been shut. And may you, through the process in time, and as the conference comes, as Pastor Shibeli and the different men of God speak, open up those doors in our hearts once again. That those doors will be opened up, wide open, and the floodgates of love can come inside of our hearts and wash us and refresh us and clean us and transform us, Father, we pray. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even our heart condemns us. You are much greater than our heart and know all things. If you are here today and you never believed in Christ, you have the opportunity to receive salvation as a gift and be saved once and for all from hell, damnation, and fire. They teach today that hell is not a literal place, and they teach today hell is figurative, and they teach today that hell is not a place where an unbeliever will go forever and ever. It is permeating into the Christian church. Some of the people that are close to my heart and are dear to me are starting to believe in these things. No, hell is a literal place. It is eternal in nature in the sense that it had a beginning, it will never have an ending, and it is not figurative, it is absolutely literal. And we don't need to be in that place because we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you are here in the room and you've never believed in Christ, you say, Jesus, forgive me, save me. I want to believe that you died for my sin on the cross, that you paid for it all. You shed your blood, which was the price necessary for my sin. You believe in it. You are eternally saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, and you receive eternal life as a gift. And as a down payment of that, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart, and you are given this amazing privilege to worship God freely. No fear of torment because you have love now that God has in your heart and he will perfect. Say, Jesus, forgive me, save me. I want eternal life as a gift. If you said that in your heart by faith, you are born again and you are a child of God today, Father. Thank you. Bless the body of Christ today, each one that has paid a price to come by faith. We pray that we would be people that would be like the 273 that are very thankful for the fact that the 5 shekels of ransom money were paid so that we would continue to function in the priesthood, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, you're dismissed.